All right, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. It's brought to you guys by Reebok, the official sponsor of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. We want to extend a special thank you to Reebok for all their support. Going to be sending us to the CrossFit Games again this year. So if you guys are planning on making the trip out, make sure you come by the booth, say hi. We got a special guest today. Alongside me is my co-host, Ben Alderman. He's going to intro our guest.
Yeah, thanks, Blair. So we're sitting here with one of our good friends, Charlie Zamora. We've known Charlie for a long time. I actually got into CrossFit similar time as Charlie did. And, you know, our affiliates are about the same age. And so that kind of leads into the fact he's an affiliate owner. He also works with one of our other friends, Mark Bell over at Super Training.
Probably our largest friend.
Oh, definitely our largest friend. He always gives me a hard time about having a big head, but Mark's head's at least as big.
It just doesn't appear as big because the rest of him is so big.
True.
Right?
True. Yeah,
he's like relative to his body mass, his head might be smaller than yours relative to your body mass, but in absolute size, like volume of face and head, he's definitely bigger than you.
So depending on which measure we use, I take the crown and sometimes he wears the crown.
Right. It's a large crown either way.
It's a large crown. Charlie, thanks for making some time, man. Appreciate you driving over.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to be here. Hello to everybody that's listening. Ben and Blair are amazing people. I've been friends with these guys for a long time. I've never beat them in a workout ever in my life, but I still keep coming back and hanging out with these guys. And it's a lot of fun. And both of them have been a very big instrumental role, not only in CrossFit in Northern California region, but just CrossFit in general. So I'm appreciative of them, of their friendship and having me on the show and giving me the ability to talk today. I don't know the questions, so hopefully they're not trying to set me up for some form of disaster.
Questions? Did you prepare any questions?
I did, actually. Mine's more of an interrogation, if that sounds a little less intimidating.
I thought we were just hanging out, but that's cool. Questions, let's do it.
All right. So on the night of – no, I'm just kidding. No, man, we did. We just wanted to catch up with you. It's hard to for all of us to get together sometimes unless there's something formal for us to actually sit down and do it, you know? And so for me, it's almost like if I watch you on social media, which I get to a lot, it's cool how you give some people a lens into what you're doing. But right now it's a little bit of like a Where's Waldo, but with where's Charlie Zamora, you know? And it's a fun game to play, but it'd be nice to sit down and talk with you, man. Just see kind of what you're up to these days.
Well, that's way easier. I didn't even know that's the structure.
I'm
happy with that.
He's an avid listener of the show, obviously.
No, and it's not that I'm not an avid listener. It's just the ADHD puts me in different places at different times. So I'm trying to just be matched with what's going on.
All right. So let's talk about the ADHD. So we know you for a long time. I know you for a long time when you opened Warriors down in Elk Grove and kind of like stamped your kind of brand in the sand down there, right? Mm-hmm. CrossFit gym that everybody thinks of when you're in Elk Grove. That was your baby. Right. Yeah. Then you, a few years into that project, you started another project, Caffeine and Kilos.
Yes.
Right. And that became your baby.
Yeah.
And you developed that into a very successful, very impressive company. Now you have. In a short time.
Yep.
Now you have an actual baby.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of like your project.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what it takes to start a project, you know, like that. Like you started two different businesses. You're now working with Mark Bell in a business that was already established, but I think of you as an innovator, as a guy that likes to get things running and get things churning. So talk about that process for you. How does it work?
That's a really cool thing. I don't think I've ever actually went through that process in my mind. I think, for me, I just get like, I get super stoked on things. Like I get excited about stuff. And this is kind of funny. Like, it's not like a bad thing, but it was a funny comment that stuck with me. So it was about probably 5 or 6 years ago. We go out to a swimming workout with Blair and I'm 30 minutes late and have a car full of people. We get out there. He waited. He was nice enough to wait for me. And we do the swimming workout. We come back. And I think you just came back from like a major Reebok event or something had happened. And you gave me like the funniest compliment. I didn't take it as a negative and I don't think you're meaning it that way, but it stuck with me. And you're like, Charlie, I want to tell you something. I was just at this Reebok event and he's like, you know, whether people want to or not, they know who you are. Right. And I thought it was kind of a funny thing, but you know, putting my name in the sand or different things, I think I just get so excited about what I'm doing. I want to share that with everybody because I really, when I believe in something, I really believe in it. And I think that what you'll see from me on social media is that once like I'm committed to something, everyone will know about it because I'm not like ashamed about what I'm doing, but I'm also not afraid about talking about it. And I think that's, if you want to start something, you know, it was years ago, I went to go see a seminar with Greg. I think it's, you say Amundsen, right? Is how you say it. And it was one of his original like goal settings. And he basically said that, you know, a goal that doesn't have a date is basically a dream. And so when I look at things, that was very, very influential on me when I actually heard it. But like for me, when I look at things, I look at what is it I'm wanting to do. But I know the number one way for me to have follow through is to make it very public. So whether it's starting my gym and letting people know that I'm doing that, it's also telling my friends like, hey, I'm going to host a competition. I know you're just coming off the CrossFit Games. Like, would you want to come to a competition in a parking lot? You know, and doing
that happened.
That happened. And stuff like that, right? And doing these things. So I think that to gather my words correctly, be stoked on what you're doing. That's what I do. And then when you commit to something, let everyone know you're committed to it, because you have a higher probability of being successful because you've almost omitted that to other people in the world that this is what you're doing and you're committed to it. And then those people, whether it's good, bad, or in between, are going to hold you accountable to that. And for me, that sense of accountability is what leads me to continue having follow through. Because like for me, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. But that might just be something intrinsic of me. So that motivational structure for me is what works. It might not work for other people.
I really like that, actually. I think that's really, really good advice for anybody listening. You know, if you don't know, Charlie's sitting here. How old are you, Charlie?
I just turned 29.
Just turned 29, right? Talking like a 49-year-old, you know? But appreciate that business advice and that look at almost any kind of advice. But before that, you talked about doing things you believe in, right?
Yeah.
Like, so if you're going to pick a project, right? You talked about how to execute on a project. But when you're talking about a project, you're talking about doing things you believe in. How do you find projects, like these things that you believe in and you can really get behind? What's that initial step look like?
I think it's excitement, you know? I guess I'll use my wife as an example, or you could use even before that at a very elementary age, right? You know, you see this girl, you're in the third or fourth grade, and all of a sudden, like all you could think about this girl's name, you know, everything she's wearing, like all of a sudden it's just like
classic third grade,
fourth grade or whatever, right? Like this, there's just, you just start really noticing, you know, like cause me, I just really started noticing girls. I really like that girl. Like, And it's almost where it just becomes into your mind so much that it's like, not in a bad way, like you're creepy, but like it's just something that you just keep thinking about. I think that when things pop into your head like that, there is a teeter-totter, right? So before, what I've done, and I think it's what's helped me, is if I get that thought in my head towards something, I'm like, I'm doing it because I feel it. I know it. I know it's going to be right in the aspect of the idea. Out of context of being the third or fourth, you know, grade guy with the girl, but like I'm going for it because I'm like, it's overwhelming me. Like I can't even, you know, like comprehend not doing it. And that's how I personally know that something's right. Now though, what I will say is that what I've learned in business in a short period of time is that there has to be a balance between that overwhelming sensation, but then also the balance between an understanding of what that commitment looks like long term. And I think that a lot of times, well, at least I do, I get so excited about something and I want to follow through on something so much. All of a sudden, I've committed so much time to something, I'm doing something so much, I might have forgot maybe a few steps along the way. But some would argue if I was thinking about the steps, I might have never done what I wanted to do. So I think that anything that you have passion for that you're committed to, I see you go for it. If it's the appropriate time in your life to do it, like go for it. And I talked about this before and another time was just like failing forward. I have a redefinition of what the word failure means. Failure to me is just a bunch of ways that I learned not to do something that leads me closer to my end goal. So for me, failure is not the representation of me not doing well. It's me learning something. And I think that if people can take that identity of failure, then you're going to be very proactive in continuing to move forward in the direction you want to be successful with that thing that you have the passion for.
Can you remember any specific learning experiences that you had, like through Warriors, through Caffeine and Kilos, where you're like, I thought this was a great idea that was really going to like, you know, spur the business onward, but actually it was not a good idea. Like this is a pitfall that I didn't know existed and now I will not do that again.
I got two, and they're both kind of funny. So, One was for all of you new CrossFit people, there used to be this really funny guy on the internet called Drywall. He used to post funny things all the time about the internet, right?
Yeah.
And
I know exactly where this is going.
Unfortunately, one of my competitions made that site. And I had this idea. It's actually, I don't want to be too long-winded. I start the Warriors Throwdown, and I actually called you and said, like, hey, I want to host this huge citywide health and wellness fair fitness competition. We ended up running for 4 years, you know, raised over $50,000 for different nonprofits. And I got together with, you were there, like with the mayor was there, I had city council involved, and I want to start a citywide health and wellness fair. And that was awesome. And all those things were great. And I learned every year about it. And I called you up that first year. I'm like, Blair, like, I want you to come be a part of this because I appreciate your knowledge in the space. I still feel that you're one of the top guys. But at that time, I believed you were when it came to what you were doing. And because no one really had that. They weren't as versatile as you because you had also traveled. You just came back from a bunch of travel. You've been doing things internationally. So there was so much more depth at that time. Now everyone's doing a bunch of things. But
right.
You're one of the first people to do that. And I always give you props on that. So I asked you and you go like, well, if I'm going to help with this, like I want to compete. And I was like, well, I guess I should make like a pro division. So I created the Warriors Throwdown, which was people outside of Elk Grove, they can come and compete. So the first year it goes well. We run out of the parking lot of the gym and we crush it. Chad Augustine's out there, Justin Riley, a lot of the NorCal guys. Ben, I think, was still at Gold's doing flies or something, or maybe he was too
back
cool
deck.
To come. I don't know. He was jacked. He still is, but I don't. Maybe arguably he was bigger then than he is now, and that probably frustrates him, but he's definitely more shredded.
I was bigger back then. There was a time when I weighed like 221, which is pretty big for me.
You're so, like, not yeah. that you're not big now, because that's the worst
no,
thing you say to a dude,
enough.
But you
yeah.
were, the Gold's days, you were big. And so, but now big. This is a more, you went from Mona to now The Rock, so that's good. Yeah. So long story short, we were running this competition and I get everyone involved and all this stuff's good. And so 3 years down the line, now I get this really big opportunity. I was like, man, this thing's really growing. So I thought of the idea. I'm pretty sure I was the first person to do this. Mixed teams, right, with top level CrossFitters. I mean, we had you out there, Andy Sakamoto, Miranda was out there, Garrett was out there. We had Ben was out there, Becca Voigt was out there. Both you guys were at that competition, right? We had like Jenny, who you're doing the thing in Arizona with, right? Like,
yeah, Jenny LeBlanc.
Like, we had at that time probably the most legit CrossFitters there. And Becca flew in all the way from SoCal just to do it with Katie, right? So I rent out this whole basically sports complex to run this competition. I'm not going to throw someone under the bus, but they'll know who it is. I went over programming with a buddy of mine, and I was thinking about a way to use rings for like a ring dip thing. And one of my buddies, I was like, I want to run off the hip. He's like, no, man, you got to run it off their back. It's like more like isolation. I was like, all right, I'll do that. And so we do it, and then full circle, drywall happens. I have Jenny LeBaugh at that time, CrossFit athlete, who has then CrossFit athlete Chad Augustine doing these ring pushups, but it looks like a tourniquet around Chad's neck and like the inner went wild. And then five different online coaches from Rudy Nelson, who I know, to all these other people, just completely slam local competitions. And anytime a local competition got slammed for like horrible programming, they always use that picture. And I never actually saw that as a negative. What I saw that is I said, you know what? I was the first to try it, right? Like it might've been wrong. I might not have done it, but like, look who I had there. Look what happened. And I learned from it. And Chad's fine. Chad's fine being is arguable, but like Chad's fine. Jenny's fine. Everyone had a great time. It was a tough, fun competition. But I also believe that was one of the first times ever in CrossFit there was an autograph signing. So like I was pushing big time promotion for CrossFit from the very beginning. And I know it was really long winded to say that, but yeah, like I end up on drywall. And at that time, a lot of people would let that bury them and never run a competition again. And all I did was take the competition I was running with that, switch it to Olympic weightlifting, and that birthed Caffeine and Kilos. So you can't really look, and then Caffeine and Kilos becomes an international company within a year. So you can't really look at one thing and like let it define you. So I don't know. I was long-winded, but that was kind of funny that all of us were there at that competition too.
What
so
did
I
you...
feel like we're part owner of Caffeine and Kilos now. because we were at the competition. Yeah. Becca Boyd hit me in the nuts with the back of her head. Like, I feel like I should get some
Ben,
money here.
Ben cramped and army crawled to Becca as she was carrying that yoke. Remember that? Your legs
cramped.
Becca
carried like a 355-pound yoke for further than most of the dudes.
Yeah, you were worthless on that
one. Totally. If I'm partnered with Becca, I'm still pretty much useless.
Miranda said that 3-mile non-disclosed distance run to this day is the hardest workout she's ever done.
So stupid. I thought you were joking the entire time. Until we started running, I thought you were lying.
And who won that workout?
I believe you did.
By a considerable margin.
Great. Who took last in the snatch every workout?
All right. So that was a low point. Like, as far as that's it was an opportunity for you to learn. What did you learn from that? Like, don't program crazy shit?
Not so much. I mean, yes, that. Attention to detail is what I learned. So Think about everything that I had going right. I had the top CrossFitters at that time, a lot arguably would say in the world, right? We're all there at that point. I have an entire sports complex right out. At that specific event, we also ran a citywide fitness competition. And for people to understand what I call work ethic, there's people that work harder than me. But for this specific competition, I ran out the facility, set it up at 5 a.m, emceed the entire day, ran your guys' competition, competed myself, and won with our team. And then I had to clean everything up and give away awards all within the same day. And then at the end of the day, write a check to a nonprofit, which I was excited about doing. But that's so one man. I mean, I had a whole team with me, but like I was running every aspect of that. But I thought everything dialed. I did it. Like, and they say devil's in the details, right? Like, I learned that even if I have everything going on that I think is amazing, you can't overlook any part of any process. And I think that every good sports coach will tell you, it's not the slam dunk. It's not the three-pointer. It's the little things that win the games consistently. It's, are you getting rebounds, right? Are you hustling on this play? And I think that, you know, in between the lines, if you don't show the consideration for doing the little things right, when you have the opportunity for the big thing to happen, that little kink in the chain is going to show up somewhere. And so that was a long-winded way of saying, observe everything you're doing so closely, to where you understand it, but also don't let it consume you to not get the project done. So there has to be a balance point.
So you were running everything that competition, and then you said that gave birth to the weightlifting competition, which gave birth to Caffeine and Kilos.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like we'd be amiss if we didn't talk a little bit about Caffeine and Kilos and, you know, just the three guys.
Yeah.
Right. Who started that, you, Dean and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Was that, did that work for as long as it did because you saw the need to delegate maybe certain roles, like after seeing the competition and doing everything yourself?
Yeah. So,
you know,
yeah. So like, and how this transitions to, I have the utmost respect for Danny and Dean, and we're all still friends. Like, Danny just had a kid. I just called him. We were talking. Our wives still talk. Me and Dean have known each other since 12 years old. A lot of the first workouts we go to your gym is me and Dean hanging out. The whole Caffeine Kilo story is pretty interesting and how it all unfolded and it kind of came together. But the main thing is this, is that what I mean by saying that it led to Caffeine Kilos is that one day I come to the gym and a guy, Darrell, he used to train with you over at Gold's, he was a personal trainer, boxer, MTV, shout out, right? He's like, hey man, I want a gym t-shirt. I'm like, gym t-shirts suck. Like, every time someone wants a gym t-shirt, like, I don't have them. But then every time I have them, no one wants to buy them. They just kind of sit. This is what I was thinking like 5-6 years ago, right? So he's like, dude, just go on the internet. You can make this t-shirt. This is it. I was like, all right. So long story short, people have heard this story before. I go into the computer and I make a tank top because obviously the ADHD, I'm not focused. So I make a tank top. I bet you guys remember the original post. It was a My Life tank top. And it was a weightlifter in a coffee cup. And I remember looking at Dean. I'm like, yo, I'm going to post this on my Instagram, see if anyone wants to buy it. It's kind of funny. Then we had a pretty big response, like that this was kind of cool because that's what most of us do is drink coffee and lift weights or pre-workout, whatever we were doing. And Dean at that time was already had like a little bit of like a underground like fashion thing where he's doing like denim jackets and stuff. He's a Midtown hipster. He's a cool dude. And so long story short, I was like, dude, this is something to this. Like, we should do something with this. And he's like, yeah, bro. And we're like, oh, it's like coffee and this, da-da. Caffeine and Kilos kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, so like, let's do something with it, bro. Like, let's make shirts or something, right? And I talked about this before. It's like the movie Crash, where like 7 plots like run into one.
Perfect.
For whatever reason, like a month or 2 months previous to that, I called Danny up, Danny Lear, because I knew he's at Cal Strength. I knew Cal Strength was like a powerhouse for media, but I also knew out of everyone that lifted there, Danny also did CrossFit. So he understood CrossFit. And being good friends with Kendrick Ferris and a lot of the weightlifters like Chad Vaughn and those guys, I just kind of felt like no one really talked about them. And there was like this connection that they could have with a weightlifting group that CrossFitters could have. And this was a lot of it was actually prior to like Kendrick's seminars and stuff. Like, I felt like it was a way for people to connect. And I felt like there was a lot that we could learn because we lift like crap, right? A lot of us do. But like, here people, the professionals that also want to be a little bit in our world and we want to be a little bit in theirs, but there was some form of a barrier. And I'll talk about how like caffeine kilos help diminish that barrier. But long story short, I call up Danny. I get his phone number from Jacob Tispin, who's the original guy, CrossFit Monterey. I think he was like 19 when he started his affiliate. I don't know what the hell he's doing now, but I love that dude. He's funny. I get his number. I'm like, I need Danny's number. He gives it to me. I call Danny. Danny's like, who is this? I'm like, dude, I've competed with you in some local weightlifting meets. Like, dude, I have this crazy idea. Like, I'm friends with Kendrick Ferris, friends with different people. Like, I know you know weightlifting. I don't really know it that well. Like, I know it a little bit, but like, I want to host like a badass competition, and I want like weightlifters and former Olympians to like lift, but then also like coach athletes there, and then maybe we use like some way, like do like a seminar type thing. I don't know, but like we'll make like a big competition. So this was that like month previous to talking to Dean. Long story short, that whole month we were like basically funneled through this idea that we would do an invite competition to the top lifters in the country, which is very similar to an invite to the top crossers in the country, but to create a target audience for those weightlifters, we'd host a CrossFit competition before it, making sure that they had a built-in audience afterwards. And then we were going to lead people by, hey, grab a beer afterwards and watch some of the best weightlifting in the country, right? And the story about how we started all that's kind of nuts too. Like, we didn't have a business name and we signed on like a lease for the place. And Danny was like, I don't know, I must have like coerced him into just doing it. That's a lot of people are like, you just get us to do things. And then later we were trying to figure it out. But long story short, like, we decided that we wanted this competition. Then me and Danny are talking, me and Dean are talking. And then long story short, it all comes together where we're like, we figured everything we want to do was like one big thing. So I was like, hey, like, let's all just be equal business owners. We're all just committing to this. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just have fun with it. So the idea of hosting this huge competition, we're having CrossFit in the front, weightlifting in the back, creating this really cool brand that kind of married both things together in the benefit of sport, would be fun. We end up selling out the competition in like less than a month. And the idea behind that is I want to make like a crib style video to like sell the venue. And I think you guys probably remember that original video that came out. It was the first time something like that had been done, because I knew that I had to sell it out because I had to pay for the venue, because we didn't pay for the venue. So we used the money from registration to pay for the venue. And we also used that same money from registration. No one really knows this story, so breaking it here, to do like our first run on our business license and like some of our clothes and some of our stuff. So like since day one, Caffeine Kilos was in the profit from the beginning, but I lived a colorful youth. So I knew how to flip money basically.
I lived a colorful youth. Yeah.
So basically, you know, I used some of the, it's like, it's being like, I was committed. Like, I just knew I was going to do it. I don't operate like that anymore, 'cause that's reckless. And sorry, whoever blew to us in the beginning that thinks that we were being crazy, we were, but that's how it worked, right? A little bit of craziness. So we end up getting this venue together. Well, then this is, and you guys are in New York. I love telling you guys this now because you guys are such a part of it. Well, how am I going to bust out a clothing brand and have every person in Northern California post it on their website at that point when some people are starting to do their own thing with clothing? You guys are my friends, but you're probably not going to post clothing for me, because if you asked me to do it, I'd be like, ah, Blair, I love you, but I don't really know if I'm going to put that on my main site, right? It's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's weird. And you guys would agree as business owners, it's, you know, how many friends do we have that want us to do something? And it's like, I could support you, but I don't know if I could like put that on my membership page. Right. So long story short, I was like, let's not tell anyone it's a clothing company. And let's just name, me and Danny and Dean decided to name our competition the Caffeine and Kilos Invitational. So on every, like from you to Justin, to everyone all across Northern California, everyone put a homepage to sign up for the Caffeine Kilos Invitational, or at least had talked about it. So before coming there, everyone already knew our brand before they knew our brand. And then when we opened our doors, then we said, this is what we're doing. I was ready in everyone's backyard. And I don't think that's deceptive. I think it's creative, is what I would say. But that was fun. And I will say that building that company was some of the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. You learn so many things and there's so much stuff. And definitely learn a lot about, you know, other people and how they operate and how they work. But I think all those things led towards growth. But it's kind of a fun way. And Caffeine Kilos was a really cool thing that I was a part of. And I wish those guys a lot of success with what they're doing.
I'll give you a little bit of as I remember that happening, because I remember that venue out at McClellan. And I remember that first competition. And I remember even talking to you about your idea at your gym. Mm-hmm. With Chad and Misha.
Holy cow.
Yeah. You remember that, right?
Are you gonna say it?
No.
Who was the first athlete I tried to get for Caffeine and Kilos besides Chad Augustine?
Well, you tried to get me.
Blair Morrison, you in the Attic. Holy shit, yeah. I forgot about
you
that.
You wanted me to like write like weekly or monthly blog posts for the site.
In the original Attic in my gym.
Yeah.
You were upstairs and Denny was with you.
Right. So I remember Now, so I'll admit that when you guys hold the competition, I was like, is this going to be like an event company, like, or a media company, like SickFit? Remember SickFit was around back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know what it was going to be.
Dude, you were right there. So was Ben. Like, you guys were right there with me.
So I was kind of skeptical, like, whether or not it was going to work.
Yeah.
And the apparel side became the thing. Right.
The hats, 100%.
The socks.
Yeah.
The t-shirts, like, that became the thing. You guys became an apparel company over the course of, it felt like almost 6 months. It was just super fast.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you had a booth at the games, at regionals, you were everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, from the outside looking in, it was very rapid and very impressive to be like, how the hell are they doing this? Like, you know, from scratch to like Klokov is like wearing your socks.
Yeah, driving like Nissan GRs in Russia. Right. Yeah.
It was just very rapid and very, you know, it was almost like too good to be true. Like, can this really be happening? Like, how is this happening so fast? But then listening to you talk about the partnership between the three of you guys, it feels kind of like, okay, Dean is the design. He's the fashion guy.
Yeah.
So you have like a creative mind there. Danny is the kind of the portal to these.
He's the connection.
Yeah. To these big kind of waiting guys. He's legitimacy.
Yeah.
And you, I already knew what you are. You're the hustle.
Like, yeah,
you
are Charlie Hustle.
You're the hustle, man. Like, you will just not stop and constantly be there. So I feel like that type of mixture.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it worked. You know, if you got someone who's a motor like you are.
Yeah.
And then you got somebody who's like gives it legitimacy.
With the cow strength and stuff. Right. Yeah.
And then you got a guy who's, because your logo is legit.
Yeah.
The logo is, I mean, people wear it because it's cool.
Yeah. I drew that in church.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I was like sketching it out and I like texted over to the guys. I'm like, I think it's this. And we made like one small tweak on it and it's been the same ever since.
Right. It's simple.
And that's, and I'll credit Dean a lot to this, where, you know, there was some times where me and Danny were like, let's do this. And Dean always said, he's like, classic is simple and simple is classic, and we'll never go out of style if we keep it simple. And if you looked at it, I mean, we want to look at the secret of Caffeine Kilos, different variation pretty much of the same shirt for the last 3 years.
Cheap to make.
I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, and we they are coming out with different styles and different things, but what people are looking at is consistency. And one of the actual, and you guys know him very well too, Paul Gum has actually played a really big part of that, because we were speaking to Paul 3 years ago at a Wadapalooza. And he was sitting down with me and Dean, I think, and he's like, hey, look, he's like, you know, I did these things with the Hurley, different stuff. He's like, do you understand what the Hurley brand is? And I was like, yeah. He's like, same shirt, bunch of different colors. Like, you have to just, you have to brand. And when you're branding, there needs to be consistency. And his whole thing was, is if you do something really well, why do a bunch of other crazy things? Just focus on what you're good at.
That's good that you brought that up, because you do a good job of leveraging who you know. Like, you leverage connections with Paul, you taking his advice, building on it. I mean, I think honestly, what I thought was the biggest catapult for you was getting your stuff in NorCal's store.
100%. Like, I talked to Jason about that like 2 weeks ago.
You talked to Jason, you know him, NorCal. You were not scared to go ask him for help and be like, put Caffeine and Kilos in the NorCal store. Because that was right when NorCal was becoming a t-shirt company.
Well, yeah, that was also, you know? there was a time, and I should remember this.
We went down together.
Yeah, Charlie and I went down to see Jason together. We went there to work out. For sure. Charlie obviously has other things always rolling in the back of his head. Brings Jason a hat.
It was Jason's birthday, right?
Yep. Brings Jason a hat. And he's like, hey, man, just want to bring you this hat. And Jason at first is kind of like, and I could probably like maybe tell this story at least as good as Charlie. But like,
dude, at first he looks at it. You're right there with me too.
Yeah. At first he looks at it and he's kind of like, he's like, oh, cool, thanks, man. Like, you know, like, appreciate it. Like, Jason's, like, very political. You know, he knows when to turn it on and when not to, right? And he turns it on. He's like, man, this is cool. Thank you. You know, and he's like, man, I really like this logo. I like your name. You know, it's cool. Is it trademarked? And Charlie's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and for the life of me, I didn't know if Charlie had a trademark at the time
probably
or not.
Probably not.
I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? And it's like,
but I know Jason, I'm going to say it is.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And he's like, man, this is cool. And so like, there's literally what? Reebok, Progenix, NorCal, and Caffeine and Kilos in the NorCal store after that. You know what I mean? And just totally legit. And,
what was it that day? He's like, dude, have you ever thought about putting this online anywhere? I'm like, we carry it on our store. He's like, no, somewhere else. You want to carry it in our store?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, sure. Yeah. Sounds like a great idea. But
huge idea.
Well, you think about this too. This is the truth. And I'm actually so happy to be going through this story again now with you guys, because you're all at very critical points of this, right? And so the coolest thing is this. This is what I told everyone. This is 100% reason why I think it worked. 100% reason why it worked. I never envisioned myself starting Caffeine Kilos, and I never did anything because I wanted it to be successful. But I was always at your competitions. I was at regional supporting you both. I go to local comps. I would try to compete with you guys. I'd hang out. I would help clean up. I'd help put things away. I would show up. And I try to be consistent in the community since day one with my competitions, with my gym, with everything I did, never thinking that I'd ever do anything. But what happens is I had a good relationship with Jason. I had good relationships with all these people because I was a good person. All of a sudden, I come up with this idea, and all of a sudden, now all my friends want to help me out and be like, yeah, we'll wear it. I just happen to be friends with you guys, right? And I happen to be friends with Mark Bell, who the first tank top he gets, he wears in a picture, and then BSN puts in a national magazine campaign ad for BSN Labs. And I was like, okay, cool. That's a huge home run. Mark's
that's
like,
that's a huge home run.
Yeah.
It was like one of the sickest photo shoots ever, too.
Yeah.
You know, the way they did it and edited it. And Mark was jacked at the time.
Yeah. So jacked.
And Mark was just like, hey, man, I wore it because he's like, I remember calling Mark when I thought of the idea. He's like, man, you've always been excited. You've always been a good dude. And why not? Why would I not wear your thing? But like you said, it's hard talking about myself, but I do not have a fear when I believe in something that I can do it. I'm not afraid of doing it. So when I talked to Mark, it's Mark Bell. Like, I was like, what? How many years ago? He's sponsored by Reebok, BSN Lab, like all these people. Hey, I came up with this t-shirt company. You want to be my athlete? Like, I'm going to ask because I believe in it. I'm like, dude, this is going to be huge, man. Like, do you want to be a part of it? And I think you can remember that day in upstairs, like how excited I was. And I think that day I actually said everything I was going to do, and I pretty much did it. But when, like I said, when I get honed in on an idea, there's just nothing that could stop me from getting there. Even failure, because I will find a way to learn from that to get where I want to go.
Well, let's talk about the end of that chapter.
Yeah.
Right? So now you're no longer with Caffeine and Kilos.
No. Yeah. Fully resigned.
Right. Fully resigned. Now you're working with Mark and Super Training and PowerCast.
Hanging on the same people.
Right. So take us through that. What was that process like? Why did it happen?
Oh, man. This is cool. So long story short, like different things in my life kind of changed. And I think I had a really hard hitting realization when Misha was pregnant about, like, I never used to think like 3 or 4 years ahead or really even like 30 minutes ahead. I was always just like head down doing what I'm doing. And then I realized I was going to have a kid, and I just got super stoked. You know what I mean? Like, my dad was always at my games. He was always there, even though he ran a gym. Like, he'd find a way to be a part of what I was doing. And I realized, like, me and Misha have been able, like, not all over the world, but we've been able to travel, do a lot of cool things. We had kids later. It was fun. And I was like, okay, like, I want to be committed to this. This is a really big commitment. Like, I want to be a great dad. And this is not saying that, you know, other people can't do it. I know my personality and how I commit to things. It's 100 miles an hour. And so I knew that in my life, there was too many things that I would have to go 100 miles an hour to where I'd only really be going 50 in certain places. So, like, as I was examining a few things and I started thinking about the company and thinking about what I wanted to do, I just realized for myself that, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road, I don't know if I want to be gone as much as I am. And the consistency I had to have as being I will say, and the guys would probably agree with this, like, I was the face of the company. What that takes for an international brand means being everywhere at any time, but it also means no matter what happens, with my role there, I was CEO, president, owner, co-founder. For me, that means the buck stops with me. You know, even those guys are equal owners, I still feel a higher sense of responsibility because in, technically my title puts me as like the boss. And the way that I had accountability to that job, if no one else could do it, I'm doing it. But being that accountable to something means that I'm that accountable to something. You know what I mean? And so for me, I didn't know if I wanted that anymore. And so I kind of talked to the guys. I talked about transitioning out, and it just happened that like a really cool opportunity happened with Mark, where I knew him before he had any money, and he saw me basically grow this company with pretty much zero background in anything to what it was there. And he saw that I could probably help him with what he was doing. And so it was a smooth transition. Me and the guys, like I said, are still friends, but I think just my priorities in life changed.
I think that what's kind of cool is I was sitting with Mark at his 40th birthday, which you would have been at if you were not having a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and just talking to him about like kind of some of the strengths that he thought you brought to the team. And just to hear him talk about you, I could tell that he genuinely cares about you and your well-being and your family. Like, and he took into consideration, like, could he help you and could you help him? Like, not just like business-wise, but just like, is everyone's life better because we're together?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was cool. Like, cause I heard him talking about it and it was like, you know, and I think that he maybe took a little more time in that conversation cause he knows I know you.
Yeah.
And obviously I know him, you know, Steph's standing right there. Andy's standing right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're talking about wine or something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, you know, but like to take the second to just, to give me a real answer, you know?
Yeah.
And then just talk about his own shortcomings in that. So Mark, you know, for as much strength as he projects, he's also somebody who understands his own weaknesses. And he found a guy, you know, in you is what he was kind of saying that kind of filled the void of what he was missing at Super Training.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
And I appreciate hearing that. And I also appreciate hearing it from him too. You know, it's everyone has their strengths. And I think where a lot of strengths that I have are really big compliments to Mark. And it's fun, man. It's a good time. So I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, you're what, like 2 months in? 3 months in?
About 3 months. I just finished the first quarter. We have 28 pieces of apparel and 4 new products dropping on the 11th of this month.
Is that the main kind of like thrust of your involvement, is to build the apparel division, or?
So I didn't talk about any other podcast, but I guess I could say it here. So like my actual title is I'm executive vice president of the company. So I'm pretty much like number 2 there. And it's more specific into like global marketing and branding. And so for him, and for Andy, cause it's the united front and I love working for both of them. The main thing is that there's so many avenues. It's perfect for my ADHD. He literally has like 6 businesses running under one business. I mean, you're talking about like just the YouTube channel alone's its own thing. You have the pod or the Powercast, you have the magazine, you have apparel, you have,
the slingshot,
you have, protein. I mean, you have everything. He literally makes a product for it, all the way to equipment. And in every one of those areas, I say this respectfully, and I told him to his face, I think they're operating at maybe 50% of their capabilities. But
way less than that.
Well,
right?
it's because he doesn't have the specific time to focus on some of those details. Like I said previously, like maybe he's missing a little bit of those details, but he doesn't have anyone that understands the way that his mind thinks to help him go find those details and make it better. So I think the best thing that I provide is I know how he's thinking, what he wants to accomplish, but I also know from doing something very similar where there could be issues. So I'm going out and trying to put out those fires, trying to build different communications between different gaps. And he also likes the fact that like this weekend, I'm going to take my brother to a basketball game. My buddy, Jacob Ross, who's a ProGenics guy as well. He trains Luau Deng. I was like, hey man, before Lou gets traded, I'll take you up on those sweet tickets at Staples Center. He's like, all right, so me and my brother are driving down there and Mark's like, hey, I need you Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, dude, I can't do Sunday, but I'll do Saturday. What's going on? He's like, we have these interviews. We have like CT Fletcher, all these like really popular, and one of them is Gunnar Peterson, who's one of the like top Hollywood trainers in the world. And you know, this is in the confidence of this conversation, everyone who's listening, right? But like, Mark's like, hey, you know, like, what do you think about this? And I was like, dude, what questions do you want to get out? Let's crush this. And he's like, well, I was like, I'll go right up to that dude, to his face, shake his hand. I'm like, what's up? I'm Charlie Zamora. It's nice to meet you. Mr. Bell will like to talk about these things. And you know, I'm like, I'm never going to upstage Mark, but when you're talking about a figure like him and other figures that are really big, it's really weird for those guys to ask each other favors or almost right. like have very like, cause those guys have agents. Right. So like now what I've actually stepped into a lot of too is that Mark speaks for himself 100%, but in any time that he wants me to go and represent him, I can do it to the best of anyone's ability. And so it helps him not also have to be, and you guys know this from being athletes, like you don't have to be on all the time. Like he is, if he needs to be, but how much easier is it for him if he feels confident knowing that I could talk to anyone, you know? And I have no problem with that. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's one thing, man. Like you've never had any trouble talking to anybody, regardless of stature. You've always been able to pay respect at the right times and, you know, be yourself. And we've said on the podcast, and I don't know how it is. I think it's maybe the people we gravitate towards wanting to interview and to sit down with and who are in our circle of friends. But we like authentic people. You know what I mean? And So we'll take anybody really in their authentic state. Right.
Yeah.
Like I think Gary Vee said that, you know, it's like, and it made so much sense because that's what you really want. You're like at the end of the day, you know, you're not Mark. Mark's not you.
Yeah.
But guess what? Because you guys both understand each other really, really well. You guys are a really powerful team. And whether that's running the podcast or whether that's him stepping aside so you can speak actually for him better than he can, maybe at some instance, right? Because he's just not on at that point.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really powerful thing. It makes me kind of happy to see, you know, because at first I won't say I didn't get it.
Like, yeah.
But I just understand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And since I care about you and I care about Mark.
Yeah.
Like I honestly, like just using this podcast as a platform.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand. Like
a lot of people don't understand. My wife really didn't understand what I was doing. A lot of people didn't. And I think that it's very interesting because I think that my role actually is not even really defined within my title. I almost feel like I wouldn't say an advisor. I'm just an ear that he can trust that's known him from pretty much the beginning, but also has a sense for business that he can trust my opinion. And I told him too, I said, I own my gym, but I didn't want to be a front man anymore. And that's another thing that's been kind of different from me is I've always been a guy out in front, whether I, you know, was the guy to be out front or not. I loved doing it. But now with my son, I started thinking about my commitments and things I want to do. And I was like, man, there's always been something intriguing to see the person that's behind the scenes. It looks like they're doing a lot, but no one really knows who they are. I want to be that guy. And that's the transition that's happened for me. And as a working professional, not having a face in that aspect, but being the guy that could do anything for anybody, I will always be with Mark. That's more appealing to me because I get to enjoy every part of the process, but it also doesn't bar me any responsibility to being, in some aspects, a character, right? Like I could just do what I want to do, get in and get out, almost like an assassin or like a stealth guy. You know what I mean?
Ben, who does that remind you of? The guy who can do anything, who's actually got a lot of power, but who's behind the scenes.
Gomez. Yeah. It's similar. You know, there's a lot of commonalities. You know what? I have to touch on this because I see what you're saying. And I'm thinking about this in terms of myself. I'm being like, just trying to be a little reflective, you know, as we're talking. But, you know, people have told me, Ben, when you stop being an athlete, you can focus on your business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're focused on it now, but you're not focusing on it like you could be if you were not an athlete. Right? Because the athlete side is taking so much of your time. Just like you stay up at night at 2 p.m. and something rolls through your head, right? It's like a business idea. At 2 p.m., I'm going to think like, man, I wonder if Blair's doing this as far as workout goes or exercise goes, right? So, and then
that's what makes you a great competitor.
Right. It makes me a great competitor, right? So then Smelly Mark comes up to me on Sunday and he's like, hey, man, this is the year. You need to focus. He's like, you need to focus on your competition. You need to focus on training. You need to make sure you do it 100%. Right? And all that stuff is all true. I would be a better business person if I was focused more on business and not on sport. Yes, it's true. This year I am going to focus on sport. Right? But I'm hearing you talk and you're like, you know what? I didn't want to be the front man. Was being the front man almost a distraction from your business? So that way when you stepped away from being the front man, you could actually then focus on business. Right? So where I'm being an athlete and it's affecting my business, you being a front man, was that affecting your business?
I think there's different seasons for different times of life. You being the athlete, Blair being the athlete that he is, I think coincides with the business and it helps the legitimacy of the business. I believe that I am a good front man if I need to be. The stage of life that I was at, the transition that needed to happen for me is what I believed was going to put me on the best course of success long term. And with that being said, you, I think each person has to analyze, another quote from Blair. We're at a competition in, Fresno. The last workout was at 8 PM at night. I was with my wife and he's with his wife. We were competing and, we're at dinner and I was so happy that Blair was eating pasta, not some paleo crap. And, nothing against paleo, but it was kind of cool to see Blair eat like a normal person. And he's like, I eat spaghetti and stuff all the time. I'm like, oh my God. Cause at this time it was really early on in CrossFit. I thought that everyone like just had chickens in the backyard and grew vegetables. But, I was like, man, I just don't get it, Blair. Like, I don't understand why, like, I don't like, you know, like I can't tap into the level you tap into. I don't get it. Like it doesn't make any sense. Like I believe I'm very athletic. I could do anything that you ask me to do. We learned back tucks. I could do anything, any sport I could play it. Like, I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just like, I'm very athletic. I just know that about myself. But we were talking about earlier, that doesn't make you good at CrossFit. Like learning how to hurt makes you good at CrossFit. And I asked Blair, I said, what do you mean? And he's like, well, what is your goals or what do you want to do? Or like, what do you find is fun with training? I was like, man, I just love banging weights. And he's like, doesn't sound like a CrossFitter to me. So I flipped the question on Blair and I said, well, what about you? He's like, dude, I want to be like a ninja. I want to be able to do anything thrown my way. I want to be able to do it. I want to be able to scale a wall, run faster things. I'm like, you sound like a damn CrossFitter. So I think you picked the right sport, right? But early on, just knowing that, I already knew myself. I knew I loved CrossFit as a strength and conditioning program, but I realized I wasn't a CrossFitter. That's not who I was. I love lifting weights. To be honest with you, my wife's right. I'm probably a gym bro douchebag that just has a really big heart, right? Like that's probably who I am and I'm okay with that, right? But I'm not, I love CrossFit, but that's what also bothers me about, that's also bothers me about people in your guys' sport that say that I'm a CrossFit or a CrossFit athlete. I've been around you guys. I've been around Chad, which anyone around Chad for 10 minutes will never say anything, you know, about hurting ever again. But what a CrossFit athlete looks like, what the training looks like, the commitment to that is not that you've gone and competed in a local competition one time or do those things. There's a different sense of commitment for the true CrossFit athlete that I think some people never understand, but want to claim just like they say they're a basketball player, but they play at 24-hour fitness. And that's not to demean people, but I think there needs to be a clear distinction between what is recreational and what is competition. And I don't think that's really been displayed, but I think there's also a bit of a distraction with the facade of being that, right? Like, I want to be that, and that's why I signed up for this gym is to do CrossFit to be a competitor because I see it on ESPN. Like, no. Probably not, right? Like, I hate being rude, but like, probably not. And I'm not a dream crusher. If you believe it, go for it, crush it. But you also have guys here that have been doing CrossFit for years that are also really good athletes that are, you know, chasing certain things in competition to this day and are able to achieve, right? Or they're still trying to achieve certain things. So for you to lot yourself in CrossFit athlete, right? Like, it sometimes for me is really frustrating, you know, but I have to be compassionate and understand that if they find an identity and it makes them a better person, I'm okay with it, but I become sensitive with it when I know what it really looks like to have that title.
Sure.
It'd be if like, that makes sense.
No, it's true. I mean, it's true. Even of another sense of somebody asking,
I don't want to be seem demeaning, but it's just,
no,
it is
not.
What it is.
It's,
you know?
Not. I think anybody could, and you could take it out of the realm of CrossFit just so maybe our listeners would understand. If you say you're an artist because you sketch every now and then, like you said, when you're sitting in church or when you're, you know, at a restaurant or whatever, versus when you are like staying up late, honing in your craft and like, actually painting when everybody else is sleeping, you know what, yeah. I mean, it's like, that's an artist, right? So you can't do anything except for that thing, you know? So,
well, it's like putting a picture into the local fair and saying you're an artist. Like you've done art, but you've not, like, no one's paying for it.
I actually am an artist, but yeah. I think coming up next, we have the,
Ben's a true artist.
I'm a true artist. I don't want to get into why, but you know,
he's a bullshit artist.
We've got the new segment, which we've been really stoked about. And it's the Fit Aid Touch and Go.
That's right. So this episode of the Fit Aid Touch and Go features Charlie Zamora. Questions, top five questions.
Random fire questions.
Yeah, rapid fire right at you. Shout out to Fit Aid. It's the official recovery beverage of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. They're a huge sponsor of Ben and mine for a long time and have recently come on the podcast. They have some really cool... They're a great business to analyze. If you talk about diversification, right, they have 6 or 7 different beverages in addition to Fit Aid. The larger company is Life Aid. The new one that's coming out, it hasn't been released yet, it's coming out around regionals, is a creatine drink.
Nice.
Called RX, and it's in a black can. It's going to be sick. I can't wait for that.
Orion, the best DJ in the world.
Orion is also a DJ. Co-founder, co-owner is a DJ. Aaron, who partnered with, I mean, they partnered with Kevin Akilis on multiple parties, right?
Yeah, so, we threw the after party for the Opens, and we did the official CrossFit Games after party, and it was the first time that any company outside of CrossFit hosted the CrossFit Games after party.
So yeah, you know them well.
Very
so
well.
This is their segment. So think about Aaron and Orion asking you.
So if I'm thinking about Aaron right now, I'm thinking about glasses, open t-shirt, just full Playboy mode.
Perfect. All right. First question. What is the most successful CrossFit-born business to date?
CrossFit.
No. Not apart from CrossFit. So like CrossFit's there. Now you have this new market, right, where a brand like Caffeine and Kilos can then spring up and target CrossFit as buyers. So FitAid is another one, a company that would not be in existence if not for CrossFit. What do you think is the most successful to date?
Oh, 100% Rogue. That's my easiest answer. What Katie and Bill have done and where they're going in that campus that they're building. And like Bill's main thing is just finding ways to employ like hundreds upon hundreds of people. And what they've done for the state of Ohio is amazing. And they've gone outside of CrossFit like we did with Caffeine Kilos. They now have Strongman, USA Weightlifting, their diversification and what they do is amazing. The consumables with FitAid are attractive because they can go into so many different platforms. But when you're talking about CrossFit and something born out of CrossFit, I would say Rogue because they also have the elements of training still involved in their product.
Do you think that's going to maintain, or do you think a company like FitAid will eventually outgrow them?
It depends on like profitability, right? So how much does it cost to run those companies? So they could be bringing in a bunch of money, but if they're spending a bunch of money to make that money, it really comes down to profit. So I would say if you're looking at a business aspect, you'd have to examine financials, and neither party would ever let those be public because they're private entities, right?
Right. But I mean, we know a little bit about FitAid. We don't know how much money they make, but we know that they have 5 or 6 distribution warehouses that are like the floor to ceiling.
I would say for diversity within the market space, potentially FitAid, just because they have so many different areas in which they can acquire business outside of fitness, right? So they have fitness, all brands of fitness, plus golf, all those different things, right? So, or party, right? If you're hanging out with Jackie Perez, you're gonna need some party aid.
Right. Whereas Rogue is
specifically training. I don't know. So yeah, it's a toss up.
Definitely feels like Rogue is bigger right now.
It feels like Rogue is bigger right now, but it doesn't mean they're more profitable. So I don't know. It's hard for me to give my actual answer on that.
Yeah. But if you think about all the biggest companies that are involved in CrossFit or at the CrossFit Games, those are probably the two biggest that were born from CrossFit. The other ones, like Reebok, was around beforehand.
Correct. Which is the trick question, because someone could say Reebok, but they would have no understanding that that's actually owned by Adidas.
Right. And they've been around forever.
And they've been around since the 80s. Yeah, the pumps, man. Let's go.
I feel like Rogue wins. I really do right now. I hear what you guys are saying, but I really feel like Rogue wins because of how hard it would be to duplicate their business at this point, right? Would be very, very hard to – it would be hard to replicate that.
Well, right? Think about e-commerce as well. Like everyone wants to order things online. That's why like Dick's Sporting Goods, Sports Authority, Sports Chalet are going out of business. They're also hitting a population that's ordering right from the internet.
Sure. Yeah. Starting a beverage company, there's a lot of beverage companies, a large equipment company like that. I'm not putting down FitAid at all. I'm just talking about replacing that, the machining, the manufacturing.
And they're
that
like
whole
a monopoly.
Process, the sourcing for steel and all that stuff. Like, it's just, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
I will say, with respect to Katie and Bill, that Aaron and Ryan probably party harder.
True.
I would, if reputation is anything, then it's not even close.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Question 2. We kind of talked about this earlier, but so I want you to give
Short answer
here, or like try to make it direct.
Yeah.
How do you make a new brand popular? Branding is your thing. That's what you're doing with Mark now. So how do you take a brand that's relatively unknown, and how do you not only make it known, but make it cool?
To be authentic. You have to be authentic, because if you try to do what everyone else is doing, you try to do what you think the market's going to do, you're going to look like everybody else. If you want to be you want to brand something, be different, stand out, swim upstream. Don't do what everyone else is doing just because you think it's how to make money.
How do you communicate that?
You communicate that by sticking to the morals in your mission statement or whatever it is that you're setting out to do. And by being transparent to your consumer about what it is that you're actually trying to do. If I say that I want to make an impact in USA Weightlifting, I never show up to a single event. I just sent thank you cards to them every time there's a competition. That's not genuine. People in life, no matter who you are, they read through bullshit very fast. People, I think, invested into Caffeine and Kilos because they saw me and my guys everywhere doing everything and living out what we said and, you know, having the right people always, you know, have the right people in the right gear always works.
I like it. All right. Question three on the Fit A Touch and Go. What is the weirdest thing that Mark Bell does behind the scenes?
Weirdest? I would say most interesting thing that he does that not a lot of people know is he actually has a really cool breathing technique. So he has a lot of stuff going on all the time. But I notice, because I'm super observant of people, about every 30 to 40 minutes, no matter what we're doing, he'll stop, whether it's even mid-conversation. He takes like a really big cleansing breath, and then he'll just proceed. So I wouldn't say it's weird, but it's definitely different. But I understand why he's doing it.
Is he just getting really tired?
No, it looks intentional for maybe some form of stress relief or to bring clarity or to try to survive life. He's not heavy anymore, so I don't think it's that.
Still heavy compared to Blair.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Still heavy compared to Blair.
Dude, a big cleansing breath every 30 to 40 minutes. It's like a 1 minute meditation or something.
I would say, like, you know how you take a big breath before a big squat? Imagine that, but then with the exhale falling within 10 seconds. And it's not weird, but it's like I've just noticed something being around him that he does it, you know?
All right. Well, I'm going to pay attention to that next time because I definitely never noticed that.
I feel like I've noticed it.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I've noticed it.
He'll pause sometimes and just take like a cleansing
breath.
When
you said mid-conversation, I go, yeah, I kind of like thought about it as a moment of reflection.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even use it for that when he is in the middle of all the things he has going on.
Yeah.
Let his mind kind of stop and play catch up for a second, like buffering, you know? And I don't mean he's like not smart enough. It's just because he has so much going on. I think he's always like that.
Yeah.
He's very intentional.
I have a peek into his life right now. I love doing a lot of stuff, but it can be very overwhelming. Like he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Right. All right. Number four. Which CrossFit events outside of the games do you see growing the most in the next 2 years? Because it's kind of a pattern that we've observed, like these bigger events, Wadapalooza, Granite Games, they're getting bigger. But from your experience of, you know, knowing that you need authenticity, you know that you need, you know, people that hustle.
Yeah.
Which events outside of the games do you see really taking the next step to becoming major players?
Outside of your partner color competition and Ben's Iron October, I would say, just because of who's behind the scenes on it, I'd say Wadapalooza, because Gomez has such a big hand on that. Anything that he's involved in is going to be successful. And the authenticity of, if that's how you say it, of the family that runs that, you know, Steve, get all those guys, like, it's like every year they give their like final speech afterwards, you know, they're really saying thank you, you know, and it means a lot. And who doesn't want to go to Miami to compete? That's a major one. In no way to be disrespectful. Ones that I think that are big that are, I don't see the same power in that have happened before. I'd really like to see a rebranding of the East Coast Championships and Granite Games. I think that they're big competitions, but I think that Wadapalooza now is just so big in context that it really drowns those two out. Whereas those two used to be really big, and no disrespect to the OC Throwdown, you know, I think that all of these competitions that were really big, the OC Throwdown, you have OC Throwdown, you have Granite Games, you have East Coast Championships, and you have Wadapalooza. When I think of big competitions right now, off the top of my head, that's what I'm thinking of.
You've been to all those as a vendor?
No, I haven't. So I haven't been to East Coast Championships. I haven't been to Granite Games, but that doesn't mean I don't have a perspective sometimes of what's going on, because most of the time what I look is for captivity, what's being captured post that event, which is the engagement from the people that are there. How is it perceived? I would say actually the biggest growing event is probably Dubai.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like think about who they're bringing out every time, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and they have a bunch of money, and they have like a laser light and fireworks show on the grand finale.
Dude, laser light.
Did you guys see the firework presentation for the winners?
I did.
They like lit off fireworks over the top of people's heads. Like not like American fireworks, like Dubai fireworks.
Like it was actual rockets.
Like actual rockets, yeah. But Dubai, yeah, they also are in a financial position of their own, so.
Sure.
But that makes a difference. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dubai.
That's the one. Wadapalooza in Dubai.
I would say, yeah, Waterfoos and Dubai are the biggest ones. I say the other ones, I would encourage them to continue to press on because I think they have good things. I think they just need some rebranding or a different call to action to get people excited about it again.
Right. All right. Final question. Fit Aid Touch and Go. Charlie Zamora. This one is going to be directed pretty much at your immediate future. Which product in the Super Training umbrella is going to grow the most due to your involvement? So we talked about all the things that Bell does, the magazine, PowerCast,
yeah,
YouTube, Slingshot. Which one are you going to really impact?
In the short term, within the next year, definitely apparel, because it was pretty much non-existent, right? So that would be immediate.
Do they have anything that's not in triple XL?
Now that I'm there, we have sizes extra small all the way up to 4X, and believe it or not, they didn't have a 4X before.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I would say apparel will have the fastest, change, and I've got cool people in the States and in China that I'm working with for like really cool stuff, customized stuff. I like to believe that, all ships rise, right? So instantly it will be apparel, but I think that with the way that we're marketing and branding everything long-term, the product that you're going to see that's going to have the most growth is Mark Bell himself as the person. And once he grows, everything grows. And I think he has the right person in me to help keep him motivated and fired up every day to just stay the course on what his true goals are. Because at the end of the day, I work for Mark. And the goal is to make him have a lasting impression. And my personal goal for Mark is, why can't Mark be a figure such as a Ferrigno, such as an Arnold, such as one of those people? I think he has what it takes to be that way. We just have to take a little bit of a pivot and transition into making him a long-term legacy in the sport outside of what he's already done and focus on what he's doing now.
I love that.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, well, Charlie, thanks for taking some time. And we know that now with Bell being so busy, you being his right-hand man, that and being a new father.
And the gym.
Congratulations on the new fatherhood.
Thanks, man.
Stepping into that role.
Dude, you guys are awesome. I have no idea. I didn't know. Like, it's not bad, but I didn't know what a commitment it was. I knew it mentally, but then I didn't experience until now. And you guys are the best.
Yeah. I got a good buddy that's a well-known athlete. So I won't quote him directly, but I will quote him directly. But I won't tell you who it is. He's like, oh, yeah, having a kid. He's like, it's pretty easy. As far as I know, it takes like, what, 9 months? And I'm like, bro, you have no idea the kind of commitment you're into. If you're thinking that way, it's really, really tough. So, but no, it sounds like you got it figured out, man. You and Misha are probably going to do a great job. And we just thank you for taking some time sitting down and talking with us, man.
Thanks a lot, Charlie.
Yeah.
If people want to catch up with you in your new chapter, where can they find you?
Any new venture, I'm pretty public on Instagram. It's probably my biggest platform for just saying what I'm doing every day. So it's Charlie Zamora _. And I know sometimes this probably doesn't happen, but I want to personally thank both of you, Blair and Ben. If you heard any of these stories, if you're actually listening to what I was saying, at every point pretty much of my existence within this space, you guys have been right there. And it's cool to continue to have a friendship with both of you. And I've admired both of you, what you've done with your gyms, what you've done with your businesses. Both of you are some of the first people to have multiple locations. You guys have this, you have your sponsorships, you have all the things that you're doing, but you guys always find a way to be consistent in the community. And I know that you both have that integrity towards what it is you're doing to be the authentic thing I'm talking about. And the two biggest brands I see behind you guys are you guys, the people. And I know that it also takes awesome wives and awesome families to support you guys. And I'm just happy to be a part of that group and say that, you guys are my friends and it means a lot.
Oh, thanks, man.
Absolutely, man. Well, we'll catch up and we'll do this again, publicly on a podcast in a year or so. But until then, you guys watch us on Instagram and keep listening to the show.